Is that what you say? Are we live? Okay. Good morning. I'm assuming that everybody can see and hear me at this point. Just let's say progress. We want to continue going on and fix the studios that I work out of, where I have space that I use to talk to you. But like any other business, they try and grow and expand, and I wish them luck. They have expanded and moving their studios a bit. So I think right now I can joke with you and tell you I'm imprisoned in a bunker somewhere below anything. But in all truth, I'm working out of what we consider a temporary space, just as when I've traveled and we set something up so that I don't miss sending you a weekly update, let's say. So here we are. This is live. And it's funny. I mean, you know, you can always relate. I used to think as a kid I was good enough to relate anything to anything else. If you want to try hard enough and see how it fits together. We're coming into one of the, for me, as a Jewish person who grew up loving my country, my religion, and history, we have a period of time that I always thought was good for the soul and the heart, for anybody. It's New Year's on the Jewish calendar. We'll be celebrating Rosh Hashanah. Different cities, if you're aware of it, you'll see people going to and from their temples. More people wearing what used to stand out, a beard, but nowadays beards are kind of in. You'll pardon me, I just don't like shaving all the time. I shaved since I was very young, so when I can avoid it, I just skip it. But this period, for the new year, going back into the ancient times, what we celebrate, they call it Rosh Hashanah when you hear it. Rosh just stands for the word head in Hebrew, and Hashanah means the year. So it's the beginning of the year, the head of the year. About 8 days later, they celebrate what they call Yom Kippur. The idea of Rosh Hashanah was at the end of the year, you kind of look at everything you did as a person. It's almost like a self-assessment when somebody says, have you been good or bad? Will Santa bring you a gift or not? Do people like you or not? Do you deserve to live next year? So this self-criticality, without taking it to an extreme crazy point, is for you to always monitor yourself and kind of try and balance out. So Yom Kippur is that day where we go into total fasting, and the way I've done it since I was probably 7 years old, when I started doing it to practice before I technically had to do it. But I've done it every year of my life. And I do it to remind myself that I feel there are greater powers that we all love to think about, watch over us. And it gives us time to reflect. When you're not eating, you're not drinking, you get to feel differently. So for 24 hours at least, we not only don't eat, we don't drink. No water, no nothing. There's dispensation if you're sick to take your medication or whatever. But it's the holiest day of the year for us. And the idea is to assess yourself. Decide if you're worthy to keep going in life. Or to do better. So I think it's kind of interesting because this period of introspection is looking in and seeing what's happened. Well, in the last week, news on the Donald Trump is never ending. There's the part of the news that I've tried to get people to understand that he loves putting out. As a master of distraction, a brilliant marketing man, he wants you to focus on whatever he's waving in front of you, whatever he thinks you should think about, while he does whatever benefits himself. So the middle of the week, when I was deciding, because so many things go on nowadays, that I always decide what's a good little title for the show. When I heard about what was coming out, the idea about this phone call with the new president of the Ukraine, and again, like everybody else, all of us, unless you were part of the natives who came across the Bering Straits and started the early Inca civilizations and the rest of it, we're all immigrants to this country, no matter how long your people have been here or not. The beauty of my country, our country, is that this melting pot, or whatever you want to call it, constant adding new things to the chowder. It's like you're on a trail and you've cooked the little bit of meat you have and a couple of potatoes, and as you go along, you don't want to just eat hot water that you're boiling. You want to put something of substance in it. So you pick up as you're roaming in the ancient days, another little plant. Maybe you capture a little creature, you skin it and throw it in a pot. So you're constantly adding. This mix, when you look at civilization and how it's progressed, and genetically, it seems that when we mix things, we end up with a stronger type of composition. And many things you can read about the inbreeding of royal families where they'd only marry each other way back. And after a while, their bloodlines became weak and they died of different things that other people didn't die of because their genetic makeup was compromised. Now, there are things that stay similar, but this interaction, the adding something new, the exposure to new ideas and new bacteria, whatever it is, we also try and protect ourselves from the wrong bacteria. So we are a nation that has grown strong because of what we've had. And I emphasize that because the middle of the week it just came to me. I said that, these new revelations about the phone call, let's see what comes out of it, what is published, and what we can get our hands on that isn't hidden from us. So immediately, I said the title for today's show would be Clarity Comes to DC. Now, as I've told people during my corporate days and just my general living, I've visited the District of Columbia and our capital of our country, and I enjoy seeing it. I love museums and history. I consider walking the streets of any city, big or small, teaches me about history. I could see the buildings, materials they used, kind of guessing the age. You could see how it formed. It gives you an insight into what the growth was. How did we get here? Spent a lot of time my corporate days in DC. Because a lot of what I did in my corporate days was run tax departments and financial operations. So you had to understand why they were passing laws. How did our budget work? How does it affect the industry you're in, the people who are working for you, everything else? When you grow up in a working class family, being able to work and make some money to put food on the table is what's important. So you learn what the basics are. So clarity. It hit me right away that maybe we're finally going to get some clarity. And I do believe we are getting it. But clarity only happens. You could take a piece of paper, it could have two sentences, four sentences on it, all in simple English, not fancy words, not baby talk, but just simple statements. What happens is if I read it or you read it, we each get slightly different feelings out of it because when we read the words, we ourselves put our emphasis, our perspective from our own background. When we hear it read on television by a reporter, in the early days of TV, they tried to always hire reporters from the Midwest who had this neutral accent so they weren't putting the wrong emphasis on words for anybody listening to it. In fact, in the old days of radio as well as TV, there are people who, when you read their biographies, you will understand they learned how to speak English by listening to the early broadcasters. because those broadcasters were hired for the clarity of speaking and pronunciation. But nowadays we get a lot of tone, background and otherwise. So, and every day there's something new. For example, last night it was announced, I don't know the exact time, that Mr. Volker, now this Volker was our ambassador, a special envoy, I should say, I believe was his title, to the Ukraine. They found the man who knew people, knew the language, whatever. And depending on who's picking him, they put him in there. Well, he resigned yesterday. You could see people talk about body language. But I found in traveling to different countries that, yeah, people could shift and move, cross their legs, their arms. You could read the body language. But watch their eyes, watch their face. Over time, you'll understand if you see the person more than once, what's bothering them? Are they happy or upset or is something going on? Just looking at this Mr. Volker, he quit yesterday. He resigned from his post. I believe he was preemptively resigning so that if he gets called, we've got a, as I like to think of him, a pretend president, because I absolutely believe under our laws, he's invalid by his own hand. We'll get back to that. But anyway, so Mr. Volker resigned. I'm hoping that if he's called to testify, he will come out and testify. Because this is a man who was up and back during what's been going on with the Ukraine. Now, the Ukraine, we've got a guy over in Russia by the name of Putin. As I said, I've dealt with KGB people before. Definitively, after the curtain fell and they became businessmen and started to get out there and earn more than whatever they took in secretly on the side. Putin. And, you know, one way you could look at him and say, hey, he loves his country and he'd like to see it reconstituted to the power it was, not just Russia, but the Soviet Union. So he has walked in and attacked different countries around the edges of Russia that used to be part of the Soviet Union, the country of Georgia, not the state, the country of Georgia. He's been giving them all kind of angst over time. And he makes himself known in other places, but the Ukraine. When he had an opportunity, because two presidents back in the Ukraine, the fellow who was president was basically what we like to refer to as a puppet of Russia. He was kind of within the realm of Putin's influence. So they were on the line between what we thought would be friendly and useful to a united Europe and allies that we could deal with. He was finally voted out, and we got another president before the current one who's just been in this year. And he was leaning more toward us. Well, the Soviet Union, Vladimir Putin saw the opportunity to make a statement and go into Crimea. Now, I hate to say this, even in this modern era, the tactical use of a port or a piece of property that guards things. We hear about the Middle East with the Straits of Hormuz, where the oil tankers have to go in and out when they pick up oil to go to the rest of the world. The Iranians like to try and control that. We like to offset it, and so do other allies we've had, so that we can have commerce and not get disruptions in the global economy. Well, over near Crimea, it's across from Turkey, you've got what's called the Bosporus Straits. You've got ancient civilizations that date back, Ottoman Empire and the rest of it. So that body of water going through the straits, it's called the straits because it's narrow. It's like in the Western movies, you'd see where if you suddenly had to take your wagon train through a canyon, you knew the Indians get on top of the hill and shoot at you. It was dangerous. Well, Russia took that piece called Crimea because it's strategically a good piece of land for defending things or disrupting things, depending on what you want to do. Then they've said it's not Russian soldiers, it's separatists and freedom. Yeah, There are groups inside of Russia, Putin wants us to believe, that can just get weapons and tanks and everything else they need and just go merrily around picking up pieces of land, and doesn't bother him at all. There's good movement of free soldiers available in Russia. Yeah. I have a bridge to sell you called the Brooklyn Bridge. We sell it every few days, actually. We make a lot of money in Brooklyn by reselling that bridge to whoever's stupid enough and wants to buy it. Anyhow, so the Ukraine is an important piece of real estate. The latest guy in there is Zelensky, if I'm pronouncing his name right. Hey, it may be in vogue for me to go back to my grandfather's real name before they gave him Epstein at Ellis Island and start calling myself Skravnik. Who knows what would have happened to me in school in Brooklyn? They would have called me Scruffy, Scruffy, whatever, or Nicky. Doesn't matter. As Shakespeare says, what's in a name? It's how we act, who we are, what we do that counts. So the clarity, it struck me in the middle of the week that we were going to get something that may clear up this fog that we keep getting put out of the White House, taught everybody, saying, well, everybody does it, so it's okay. I hate to say it, people I love, people I've talked to, people I meet, they find it simple to justify that if the guy says, well, they do it, why can't I? The problem with that is if you allow people to say they're going to do what they want and excuse it because somebody else did it, that doesn't make it right. That's the way I grew up. Somebody, a big person beats a little person, doesn't mean the next big person can come along and beat another person, and it doesn't matter because somebody else did it. That's never the standard for right or wrong. So think about everything you hear and look into it. That's how clarity also comes to each of us. So Volker resigned. He's a man who will be called upon to testify because of the papers that have been coming out. And also last night, because there probably isn't an hour, a minute, or anything that doesn't produce something new, Trump has said that the maximum number of refugees, and I don't know that it's in stone yet, that for next year will be limited to 18,000. Now, we grow based on refugees and we take refugees in. When we take refugees, we don't always do a head count. If a country is under really ugly conditions, we will take the people who can get out of there. We don't keep them here permanently. We do send them back when they can, or if they want to work and properly get into our system and wait their turn, we'll allow them to become citizens. We have benefited from this. If nothing else, we get a great variety of food because of all of that. So, Trump has announced that we're only going to take in 18,000 refugees. It's interesting. You've got to weigh this against what this man is really doing. Okay? 18,000 total refugees from the world for the whole year. In 2017 and 2018, when a lot of the corporations were using the H visas to bring in workers from other countries, they're not refugees, they're skilled workers because we don't have skilled workers here. Yeah, sure. Anyway, they. People, we should start saying, we're not going to buy your products. Not only are you buying it from other places and not letting us manufacture it here, but you're taking away the jobs here by bringing people in because you're saying, we don't have those skills. Number one nation, inventing things. We don't have the skills. We can't set up a program to develop workers right here to use within our own plants. Eventually, think about it. The companies that greedily want to keep all this profit out of the country, but sell us everything at an American price, will kill the market that they have. This is the biggest market on the planet still. And if we stop because people can't afford things because you've displaced everyone through this visa system. So in 2017, 2018, Trump needing employees for his resorts in the United States decided he needed to bring them in. He brings them in because he makes money off of them. In Mar-a-Lago and Palm Beach, the Palm Beach County offered him. They said they have names of over 5,000 people locally who would take those jobs working at the resort. What did Trump do? He didn't look at that list or look at those people who are in our country and willing to take the jobs that he was needing covered. He made sure we added 17,000 more H visas in 2017 and 2018 so he could cherry pick and use those visas to bring people in. And I've told you before, when he brings them in, they don't have a place to live. He pays them next to nothing, but he charges them for the lousy space he gives them to live in. So he's basically just churning the money around and putting it back in his own pocket. That's why he didn't want to hire out of the pool of 5,000 available people in Palm Beach County. No matter what this man does up front, no matter how he acts, no matter how brilliant he said he is a thief. He learned it from his father, how to take expense and turn it into money in my pocket, meaning his pocket. I've discussed that many times, but just keep that in mind. So he's going to limit refugees coming to this country next year to 18,000. As I said, 17,000 additional H visas because the companies had used them up. He needed them for his resorts because he benefits from using these people from outside the country rather than people who are here that his own local government is offering him. Think about that. Who is he really for? So, and that just happened. So we can just talk about what happens every 24 hours almost when it comes to him. But I want to focus on it because I think now people are starting to get more and more to understand, as I've been explaining to any of my listeners over time, that because of my background and rogue governments I've dealt with and characters and my ability to audit and understand what's really happening behind a financial statement or transactions. I've told you that this man in his first 2 years spent over 220 days at his resorts and basically has pulled easily over $200 million out of our treasury, meaning my money and your money, people who do pay taxes. And I don't mean this year, but over their lifetime. Man, if he's so brilliant and the rest of it, he's always afraid to show you his tax returns or a contract or anything else. When you hear him in the last week talking about these telephone calls that he's had with the Ukraine or anybody else, he refers to them as beautiful. Anything he does is beautiful. Beautiful is right next to bigly. It's one of his favorite terms because anything he does is great. People who love him just believe he stands here and says it, and that's fantastic. You have to understand, people, he's taking your money out of your pocket and putting it in his. So, special envoy in the last 24 hours quits. Trump puts a limit on refugees because he can get what he wants through other means. Trump starts to, what comes out and becomes clear, there's so many points with this. He releases a transcript, not the exact words, they're out there somewhere, of this telephone call with the Ukraine that's at the center of what's called the whistleblower. Now, you have to understand, the whistleblower is a term of art where we're saying, if you worked on a site in the old days, and we didn't have modern electronics and stuff, and somebody saw you were walking in front of a bulldozer and you're about to get crushed, they might take a whistle and blow it to wake you up. The idea of blowing a whistle, alerting the public that something is happening that could be harmful. So they started calling it the whistleblower. There are statutes. We say that as long as you're operating in a proper way, under our laws and properly and within the framework of our rules of law, you have nothing to fear. So if somebody sees that, let's say the food that's being manufactured at a plant is not being controlled and there are too many animal droppings in it or arsenic spilled in it, and that can go out in a package and kill some people. So a good citizen stands up, and instead of being afraid of losing their job, these whistleblower laws protect you. You could be wrong. You could see something, and maybe you didn't understand it. So we try and encourage people to speak up so that if we miss something that could be harmful, they will feel comfortable doing it, and they won't be hurt by just speaking out. And if they're wrong, we figure it out. We say, fine, go back, just work. You honestly were trying to help. So whistleblowers are like people who in the middle of the battle decide they're going to do something that's courageous because they think there's a danger to the public. That's why we have these acts to protect them. Anybody who has watched any news channel, I don't care whose news channel, in the last 24 hours, they have Trump, after he's finished at the UN, speaking at the US mission in New York, I believe. And the people he's basically talking to, while he's up at the lectern, are people who are our employees working in that mission to interact with the rest of the world and protect us. But not just our employees, their families were with them in some cases, including their kids. So what does the Donald? He probably thinks of himself as the Don, you know, this ruler of this empire that's in his mind, that he's going to tell everybody what to do, and we're all afraid to speak up because he will take care of us if we say the wrong thing. So he says to the audience, he said, whistleblower, they're not whistleblowers, they're spies. And you know what we used to do with spies? He's basically saying, hopefully we still do it. If you knew somebody was truly a spy, because he's now used the T word, treason. And, you know, as I've said before, as a psychological aspect of how this man operates, he's the man who takes his own characteristics and he speaks of them as if everybody else is doing what he does, that these are bad. So because he's speaking about it, he assumes that you're going to assume he doesn't do those things. Look at those people. So he threw out the word treason. He was basically in front of these embassy families and kids and everybody saying, well, we execute spies, don't we? He's threatening. I grew up on the streets in New York. I was born in New York City. I lived in all five boroughs. I lived through an era. I was born in the early 40s. I lived through an era that was one of the biggest gang eras in New York City. Way before you got to the Bloods and the Crips in California and the rest of it. And the gangs were pretty serious about fighting with each other, territorial. And you learned, and I grew up with people from all backgrounds. And everybody had their own little, whether you want to call it mafia, clique, or anything else that they had. So you knew that there were places that you didn't bother, you stayed away from, let those people do what they want. I look forward to the world where we all integrate with each other and work well together and stop wasting our time trying to be too territorial. We want to protect our liberties and our rights, but we do not want to shut down the ability for us to interact and learn and go forward. Because when we waste our time on petty things, we don't progress as much. We've wasted some of our power. So Trump is back to this thing about, yeah, we know how to take care of that. Again, he's threatening. Any man who knows that he has the power of the office and the right behind him, he can just say that person has broken the law, let's do something about it. But a whistleblower is not breaking the law. It's somebody who's courageous enough, and this person has put documents in properly through the intelligence agencies and arrest. I was hurting when I was seeing McGuire, I believe is his name, the guy who Trump just made as his next acting director of something. This is the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence. Because of 9/11, we created this interagency cover so that we had somebody in charge of everything. Now, the man is an accomplished American warrior. I think he spent at least 26 years as a SEAL. He's been in battles we'll never hear about. He served his country. But you know what? He's still a patriotic warrior. And he's now in a role of a semi-politician. So he's trying to see how he can run with this thing. And when he was testifying in Congress, he kept trying to draw the line that he was trying to do his duty as he saw it. I was almost hurting for the guy to strain as he was being questioned, because you know what? It isn't all the questions. We know what happened. This whistleblower put it out. It's now the president released the transcript. That's not word for word, but I guess when the president read it, as he says, it was a beautiful conversation. Well, anybody who hasn't, read the transcript that the White House released. It smacks of extortion. It smacks of coercion. When you take a country that is under siege, as the Ukraine is currently, and you've got a new president who, when he went in, I believe it was like April, Trump called him and congratulated him on winning. But after that, he's kept away from talking to him. He didn't take calls from the man. Mike Pence was scheduled to go over to the Ukraine, April, May, June, whatever it was, doesn't matter. Trump made sure Pence didn't go. He sent Rick Perry. He doesn't mind. Rick Perry's a filler for him. But he didn't want the new president of the Ukraine to think that the vice president was sent by the president. You haven't achieved your status yet. He was setting the table for what he was about to do. What he did was, and let me just repeat this, I have filed a complaint with the Federal Elections Commission. We have elections laws and we have laws. It is absolutely illegal to solicit help from a foreign country, a foreign corporation, or a foreign national, especially if you're in our government, especially if it's during election time. Donald broke this law when he was campaigning. People talked about it on the internet. If you go back and look, learned scholars and the rest of it. But nobody did anything about it. Nobody thought he was going to win. He broke a few other laws during that campaign. So anyway, let me just say there are people, and thank you again. If I get your name wrong, I apologize. Okay. Brenda Henry, a homeowner from Spokane, in the Speak the Truth, is it? I'm sorry, I can't always read my assistant's notes. Betty Shore on Facebook, thank you for your powerful thoughts. Look, if I don't read every comment you have, believe it or not, I do go back and look at them. I found with the things I'm trying to accomplish, because I still love my country and fight for it, and I am in the midst of trying to convince people in Washington that impeachment is not the only answer. We'll get into that in a second. So if I don't say your name out, believe me, I see it. If I don't friend you on Facebook, I'm old-fashioned. If I friend every 100 people and they say hi to me and I say hi to them, 100 times hi wastes maybe an hour. Not that you're not worth the hi, it's just I have something more important. I've trained myself that I want to put my energy into things that'll give the best result, not just for me, but for my country, for what's going on. So please, I apologize to anybody who thinks I'm being standoffish. I am not. If we ever get together in a room or an area, you'll find I love people. I love interacting. I'll talk about anything. People used to joke I'll talk to light posts because I like talking. So anyway, please, if I don't get it right, or if I don't read your name out, I appreciate every comment, good or bad. It's feedback that lets me know what's coming across, whether I've said it in a way that makes sense to people. No matter how many words I may have, it doesn't mean I'm putting it in phrases that hit home. So let me go back. The clarity that I felt was about to hit Washington, Washington, D.C., of course, was this whistleblower at this high level. We also discovered, and let me say this, I've been in Washington many, many times in my life, not just to visit the city, but for business, companies I worked for. There were laws being passed that would affect how we did things. There were, when laws are being passed, they discuss it in committees and hearings and everything else. And because of my background, I felt if I could go there and explain how that law will run through and affect people. Because back when I was younger, majority of Congress were all attorneys. They didn't always understand the economic implications, the financial implications to the average citizen. So I felt if I'm representing my company, an industry, whatever it was, working for them, not as a lobbyist, but as a worker in that company, that if I could clarify it and make them understand and change it a little bit so it was fair in the way it hit any of us as to what taxes we paid, what benefits we got. That was my crusade. And, you know, we all have to pick what we do and how we feel good. There are plenty of wonderful people who open their heart and make sandwiches for people. And they do this every day in kitchens that they run. These are people who care about people. I chose to go after the bigger objects, governments. I don't have the money to do it, but I have the background to understand it. So these transcripts that came out from the White House, if you read it and carefully look at what it says, it clearly says that the president finally is willing to get on the phone with Zelensky, the new president of the Ukraine, because he felt he'd made his mark by withholding nearly $400 million of aid that they need. Now, you have to understand, we give them aid technically in the form of money, but we don't hand them cash. We know that they're going to spend the money that we've appropriated for them buying weapons from us. Because we know that if they are properly armed, we don't have to get out there and fight way on the border of Russia, because we've helped other people who don't want to be overrun. When we can keep a war off our country, our continent, we're actually funding other people so that they absorb the first brunt of the battle. It's to our benefit. We give them aid, but that aid is already earmarked to buy weaponry. When you read the thing, you'll see where Zelensky says to Trump, yeah, we want to buy some Javelin. Javelin is not what you throw at the Olympics. Javelin is the name of a type of missile. There are defensive and offensive. You know what? A weapon's a weapon. They have to decide what they feel they need to defend themselves with Russian soldiers on their own country's soil. So Trump withholds this money when the Ukraine is in a tough situation, feeling he's going to pressure this new president. So what is he pressuring? Because remember, it's very clear to anybody who's watched it that in the face of our intelligence agencies before Trump got elected and after he got elected, all of our intelligence agency said Russia interfered with our election. They never said that they won the election for you, Mr. Trump. They interfered. This is something we need to fight back against. We don't want people interfering in our process in our own country. He, of course, famously in Helsinki said, well, Putin told me, and I believe greatly. You know, he likes LYs and biglies and greatlies and everything else. Don't be fooled, people. He is still doing things that benefit himself, that put money in his pocket. Believe me, he will not be shocked. I hope not. I don't think he's that stupid. That when he gets out of office and he goes to Russia and he says, okay, now I'd like to build my hotel here, that Vladimir says, who are you? You've got nothing to give me anymore. I don't have to keep my promise. Maybe he's never dealt with enough foreign entities. Maybe he thinks he's going to have some leverage when he leaves office. Not against the people who know how to use leverage and have done it way before he did. Anyway, what's happened is he basically sent the message to the president of the Ukraine, the new one, Zelensky, that you're not going to get the money till you're going to cooperate. So he gets on a phone and he talks to the man. Just read the words. As soon as the guy starts saying, well, you know, we need the aid, we're going to buy the weapons. In other words, we're not going to take your money and go out and have lunch. We're going to buy the weapons from you. We need them to survive. Trump immediately says, I need a favor. You almost feel like you're watching a rerun of The Godfather. I hate it that we have to use the mafia because you know what? It isn't just the mafia. This has happened throughout history and society. There are people who want favors. There are people who are rulers that won't give you anything unless you give them something. That's what happened in the old days. Trump believes in bludgeoning people and coercing them. So he says, I need a favor. And what does he point to in his transcript? He wants an investigation of something that's already been investigated. Biden is his rival. Trump is afraid of anyone running against him, not just Joe Biden, anyone. He will label them with stupid names and people will laugh about it. But the way to deal with Trump is to just look back at him and say, so, idiot, what have you done? And he'll try and tell you all these fancy things he's lying. The aid that he said that we've given the Ukraine, he said, we've given them more money than anybody. You could look it up on the internet. The European Union combined, Germany, France, the UK, everybody else, they have given more financial aid, which is used for weapons and everything else, to the Ukraine than we have. You know why? They're on the front lines. They're right there. If the war breaks out, they're right next to it. They don't have to wait for them to cross an ocean to come to their land. So he's lying when he says that. But again, he's coercing because he wants to use them. Again, US law is specific. You can look it up. I believe her name, the chairman of the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, her name is Ellen Weintraub. She's got degrees from Harvard and Yale. She's a scholar. She's a lawyer. She has said, I didn't think I'd have to repeat this. I'm paraphrasing. But to solicit help from a foreign country, company, or person is against the law. Trump did this when he was running in 2016. He's doing it again now. He has been interviewed and they said, well, will you take information? He says, well, I'll have to see what the information is. Why wouldn't I? He constantly likes to say, well, somebody else did it. So if somebody else hit you with a bat, he's allowed to also hit you with a bat. People, wake up. Laura, let me just say, oh, deep red coal country in West Virginia. Let me just say this. I personally, among other things, have been working on, I'm not a scientist, but I love science. I know as an economist that we can't turn off all the fossil fuel plants overnight. People would not have enough power. People would be screaming to turn them back on. I personally been working on a solution. I personally have been working on a solution so that we can use the plants and actually get more energy and less pollution out of them. Because it isn't the use of the fossil fuel, it's the effect from using the fossil fuel. So I have looked at it, and again, I'm not a scientist, but I love science. And sometimes you tinker around, you come up with answers. I believe I have an answer. I'm trying to get through to people who may know better than I do to tell me. So cold country, those are, again, hard-working people. When Trump talks like he's going to bring back the coal industry, he doesn't understand how he could bring it back or how it could be used differently. But we have to, we can't just shut off all the fossil fuel plants overnight and replace that energy. So we have to do something that's smarter. That's how we've run this country, getting smarter. Paul Garcia on Facebook. Thanks for being the voice of, and again, I'm just quickly going to read them. I hope I get them right. I can't always read my assistant's handwriting. Mine is even worse. Can't read my own nowadays. Voice of the people who cares about our country. That's how Donald Trump won some of his followers, by making them believe that he cares about them. He has not put money in your pocket. He's taken money that you've put in the U.S. Treasury out and put it in his pocket. So I am serving my country. I always think so, by trying to do things. On Instagram, Theodon Man, again, I apologize if I get the name wrong. It's the way I'm looking at the writing. The Democrats took too long to start impeachment. It does not mean who will be removed. Let me say this. I've recently written, and that means in the last 24 to 48 hours, to people who are listened to because they've got great backgrounds in government. And I've discussed it before. There are scholars out there, if you go on the internet, who since Trump ran in the last election and during the beginning of his term and up to now, scholarly people who are legal scholars all over the country who said he's broken many laws. You know what? It's great. It's like saying, I know how to make bread. If you're hungry, my telling you I know how to make bread is not going to do anything for you. If I stop and make bread and give it to you, then I'm feeding you. I'm doing something that recognizes you're hungry, and I don't just talk about, hey, you know how many people are hungry? So the difference is I have actually filed with the Federal Election Commission. The reason I've done this is I don't see that Mitch McConnell is going to cooperate. He even said it in the last few days that, yeah, let them have their impeachment. Let the House do it. Then they have to send it over to the Senate. Mitch McConnell has made his deal with Donald Trump, gives Donald what he wants as long as he gets the judges he wants. You've got to understand they're all playing with our country. So my answer, as I've said, is I have filed with the Federal Election Commission. It's called a complaint. But a complaint is just like any other legal action you can take in the proper venue. And I'm not trying to impress you that I'm an attorney. I'm not an attorney. I've dealt with them all over the world, and I look at laws and I see what's the best way of achieving a good outcome legally. So the thing I filed, I got a letter back from the Federal Election Commission that they were accepting it because they told me what they wanted, and I gave them the information they require. Citations of law, case, whatever, backup information. So they accepted it, and I know they sent it to the respondent, who happens to be Donald Trump. Not President Donald Trump, Donald Trump. So it's me, the complainant, Donald Trump, the respondent. And he has 15 days to answer it. Well, his 15 days were up probably 15 days ago almost at this point. And from the attitude I've seen him show with things around the periphery, he doesn't bother because he believes he can't be touched. By not answering my complaint, I don't need that board technically to rule that I'm right, because they first had to accept that I have a valid point. And if he doesn't respond or ask for an extension, I win by default because he didn't respond timely. So I will bet at this point that he's not responded. I've written to people in Washington who have the power and know more about the law than I do because of their background and what they are. And I'm asking them to find this answer for me. Because if I am right, we don't need to impeach him. Impeachment gets Donald Trump out. We're still left with Pence, who has cooperated with him, and all the rest of his cabinet and all of his other acting people, who, as far as I'm concerned, are just as bad as he is. So I don't consider that cleaning up an infection. You can remove a tumor, but if the tumor has already spawned little infections, you want to clean it all out if you're a good surgeon. So my answer is, if I show that he broke election law in 2016, guess what? He, Donald himself, disqualified himself. So when he ascended to the presidency, he was already invalid because he broke the laws. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm quite serious. If he defaults, yes, he'll have a right to appeal and everything else, but technically, I've got the law on our side saying he disqualified himself. Nobody else did it, he did it. So he can complain about people picking on him. And by the way, when I filed the case, I showed, including testimony, an affidavit by a law firm that Trump worked with years ago, where they said, oh, this guy knows the law, he couldn't have broken it, meaning election law, because it dealt way back with things happening, I believe it is New Jersey casino. So I've filed proper backup and arrest of it, that in Trump's own affidavit and a law firm that sent it in, that he understands election law. So who does he have to blame if he broke election law and disqualified himself? If he did, he's invalid. Vice President Pence doesn't exist. His cabinet disappears. Every judge that he put in place, including the two on the Supreme Court, are also invalid. Think about it, folks. As I said, one thing I did was looking at the different paths you could take to achieve a point during my career. I didn't pick the one that was necessarily the straightest or the simplest, but legal and achieve the best result. That's what I've been working on. And I hope that I get it done, and I hope that people do. Transcript from the whistleblowers out there, you could look at it. So impeachment, they should go after him. Because during impeachment, and they're trying to put it on this narrow point because it's so clear what he did in trying to coerce the president of the Ukraine. So let them impeach him, let him put it on the books. It may not throw him out by impeachment, but if I'm right, he becomes invalidated. And when that happens, believe it or not, we have rules of succession. We have people who can step in and take over. If the president disappears and the vice president disappears, one of the scenarios that goes under our rules of succession is guess who the number three person is? Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House. Woman is very smart and very capable. You know what? We no longer have any arguments of whether or not we had a female president. She'd become president. And the more interesting thing that I like about mine, impeachment says, you were the president and we're putting you out of office. My answer is you were never the president. You, by your own hand, disqualified yourself. So technically, he doesn't exist as a US president under my scenario. So I have reasons for what I pursue. I may not, none of us are the smartest brain on the planet, but when I go after something, I try and make it work. So again, weapons, USAID, the rest of it. In his transcript, think about it. Rudy Giuliani, who he says is a private attorney working for him, he tells the president of the Ukraine that I'm sending you Mr. Barr, his attorney general. His attorney general, not our attorney general, which is what the man's supposed to be. His attorney general and Rudy, same breath. I would not be astounded if Barr finally gets the picture that he's about to go down with a real bad tyrant, and no matter what he's done to help him, he may say that, well, I must recuse myself. Former Senator Sessions was at least smart enough to say that at one point. Trump just beat on him because of it and changed him. So I looked to Barr maybe to grow up and say so. Gun control, just quickly get to it. If you look it up, the Supreme Court is looking at their calendar for next year, and with the two new justices that he put in there, they're looking to back up gun control because the NRA, even though it's hurting and going out of business and has put a lot of money into his campaigns, they still hold influence over him because manufacturers of weapons and other things put money in his campaigns. As I keep repeating, people, if we all go out and vote, they can spend all the money they want. They can't outvote us. We can vote out everybody who's not doing what we want and what we deem is good for us as Americans. Forget Democrat or Republican. I told you that's merely allowing you to vote in primaries so you have an earlier voice in who's left to vote for at the end. So again, Trump has also taken phone conversations. After spending a lot of time in Washington, been in the Pentagon and other buildings, and I'm not saying I've been in every little secret corner, but the way our government works, we have separate banks of computers and servers for different needs. You don't just throw it all in one big place. You have backup copies. Well, anyway, Trump realized at the beginning because of people leaking at the White House because they didn't like what they saw and they were trying to protect the country. Not whistleblowers, just general leaks to the paper. He started putting his phone calls into this separate computer server, which is a special high-end, they call it a code server. The reason they use the word code is it's like the nuclear weapons. You need a special code, and only one or two people know it, so that nobody could just launch it by mistake. This computer is set for highly secretive stuff. We have laws that don't allow you to put stuff in that server unless it belongs there. He has used it to put conversations that he's had with the Ukraine, with Saudi Arabia, with North Korea. People that he knows he wants to casually speak because he has these great relationships. He doesn't want you to hear what he's really saying. He's tried to hide it from us. It will come out, and you will see what we're dealing with. A selfish, greedy person who's afraid of so many things, but not afraid of taking our money out of our treasury. Giving out money, he was going to get like the deficit out as soon as he got in office. He's increased the deficit by trillions at this point. Folks, you got to go back and look at what's happened. We have gone through cycles of people who promised to lower the deficit, take us into wars that are never ending. And the cost of those wars and who made profit off of them. Wake up to reality. I am proud that my country came out in great numbers in 2018 to vote. Every 2 years, the election is important. The fourth year when we go, the odd year when we vote for a president, president doesn't matter depending who's in Congress. President's in charge. That's why Trump, when Mitch McConnell doesn't cooperate with him, tries to write executive orders. And as I've said in prior podcasts, executive orders are only good if they're within the general framework of the law. Not, I'm issuing an edict, I am King Donald, and I will tell you what will happen. There's also been a case where they've stopped the funding. It hasn't been because of all the noise that's out there. There's been a case where the courts have said you can't build the fence that he's working on. We took money from other government programs for existing brethren of mine, soldiers and airmen, and their children and schools at the bases. They needed funds. We're almost done, but let me say, Millicent Gordon on Facebook. Remember Julia is who helped crime. She knows it in New York. He now enjoys committing crimes. There are people who look at what's best for their pocket, not the people. Giuliani falls in that category. I'm from New York City. I remember him saying, hey, just because I'm Italian, I'm not a mobster. When I hear something like that, he's got a problem in his own mind. You don't have to say that. You just do it by acting right. He's done tons of things in the public eye that would make anybody throw up. Laura Ojeda, Facebook, MSNBC, FEC drafts new regulations after Trump-Ukraine call. Thank you, I missed that one. But let me say one of the other reasons I talk about my FEC filing, that if he didn't answer it, I win by default, is because the way the FEC is set up, the commission technically has to rule on things. And guess what? They usually have, I believe it's six commissioners. They're down to three. They need four to have a quorum. Technically, my complaint could sit there forever. However, if he didn't respond to it, by action of general understanding of law as I understand it, he defaults, he lost, I win. They don't have to issue it. That's why I've gone to certain people in Washington who have law degrees and are from top schools and do understand that. I've written it up. I'm supplying them with the information. I'm hoping I'm right because that will clear out this infection we have. Casey Keith, people can register to vote online, Facebook. People can register many, many ways. The key thing I said, you never know when people are playing, what's happening with electronics. We've had in 2016 election where Russia, who has great people on computers, that's why Mueller had, I don't know, almost 30 of them indicted by name because they were invading different systems. They're going to get better at it. Register, make sure you're registered, check with your county, your jurisdiction. And when you go to vote, whatever system they're using, you tell them you want a receipt. You want to look at the screen because I can tell you in Palm Beach County in the 2016 election, I know people that I've known a good part of my life who went in, used the electronics, and when they said finished, even though they didn't vote for Trump, it defaulted and went back to Trump. You don't read about this, but I know a lot of people. I don't talk about these hypothetical people as the president does. So listen, the only thing I can say is it's our country. We own it. Do not let him take it away from us. Vote for people, even if you have to change everyone. Okay? We've got to clean the Senate. We've got to change the power. Let the Democrats run it. Then we can kick them out of office if they don't do it. Every 2 years, about one-third of the Senate is up for vote. Do not vote like I'm a farmer, I'm a coal miner, I'm a this. You know what? We're all Americans. You want to vote for people at the national level who take care of our whole country. If you want to vote as a farmer, a coal miner, and that's fine. You have your governor, you've got your state legislature, you've got your aldermen, the rest that are there day to day dealing with what you need. If they're not doing it, then get rid of them as a Republican or Democrat, whatever you want to do locally. But when it comes to the national elections, remember that you could register as anything, but you're an American. I know I've ran over a little bit. I thank you all for listening in. I'm just really burning up over this stuff, and I'm hoping that I can end up with something. But please look into the U.S. Supreme Court and gun control, because there have been things that have recognized that they're not taking away your Second Amendment rights. You can own guns, but you do not need a military weapon. Okay? Have a great weekend. Hello.